In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the second gospel reading, which is appointed for the feast of St. Cyril and Methodius, it begins with the words, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In the Bible and in subsequent church history, we see that there has been a tendency on the part of some to see God's people in very narrow terms. The Jews had this tendency even before the time of the New Testament, although obviously not all of them, because there were Jews that read the promises that Abraham's blessing was to be a blessing to all nations. So the more faithful Jews understood this, but there were Jews that had very narrow views, and if you weren't a Jew, they didn't think very much of you. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, we read about how they even had a low opinion of Greek-speaking Jews. In other words, Jews that had lived in the diaspora and could not speak Hebrew or Aramaic, they thought of them as being something less than the Jews that were still speaking the mother tongue. In the Latin West, even while they were still part of the Orthodox Church, there was this push in the West to have everyone use the Latin language in their services. Even people who spoke languages that were very distantly related to Latin, like German or Gaelic, these people didn't have anything in their language that naturally made them inclined to be able to understand Latin. Now, they obviously could learn it if they were taught it, but it wasn't the language that they grew up speaking, and so this made missionary work very difficult. This was not the case in the rest of the Orthodox Church. There were always people who understood the fact that things needed to be translated. As a matter of fact, there are very many ancient translations that were done, even some during the time of the apostles. But there developed this view among some in the West that you could only use one of three languages, and these were the languages that were written on the sign that was hung over Christ's head while he was crucified, and that was Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. And there weren't a lot of people using Hebrew, but Aramaic to some extent, and you know, they knew that the Greeks had been doing it and stuff, for doing services for a long time, and the New Testament, after all, was written in Greek, so they couldn't complain about that. But in the West, if it wasn't Latin, it wasn't going to happen. And what happened was, during the time of St. Cyril and Methodius, you had German missionaries that were going into the Slavic lands but were trying to make everybody do the services in Latin. And at the same time, St. Cyril and Methodius and their disciples were evangelizing into the same area, and they came into conflict. Now, even in the Latin West, there were people who had better views of these things, because as a matter of fact, there were a series of popes that supported St. Cyril and Methodius, and they're translating the services into Church Slavonic. And ultimately, their work laid the groundwork for the evangelization not only of the Slavs that they were immediately working with, but for all the Slavic peoples, including the Russian people. Their example inspired the Russian church in particular to be an incredibly strong missionary church. They established seminaries that were focused on training missionaries, and they trained missionaries not just in terms of knowing theology, knowing how to do the services. They taught him how to learn a language from scratch, a language that wasn't written, a language where you couldn't have anyone who spoke your language teach you, but just how to learn a language, develop a grammar, put together a dictionary, and then start translating things into that language. And in most cases, they had to create a new alphabet for those languages, just like St. Cyril and Methodius had to do for the Slavic people. That's where we get the Cyrillic alphabet from. And ultimately, when you think about Russian church history, a lot of people don't realize this, but Russia started off in essentially what is now Ukraine and in the very far western parts of what is now Russia. But it was primarily through missionary activity that Russian culture spread all the way across Asia. Because what would typically happen is monks would go out into the wilderness, they would establish a monastery, they would reach out to native peoples, but eventually people would start settling around the monastery. That monastic settlement would eventually become a city, and then you would have monks say, we need to go out into the wilderness to get away from all these people, and they would start the process over again. But eventually you had more intentional missionaries, like I talked about, especially from the city of Kazan. This was the most famous Russian missionaries of the last several centuries were all trained there. So they spread Orthodoxy not just across Siberia, but into China, Korea, Japan, Alaska, and then throughout North America. By the end of the 20th century, you had many Russian churches throughout Latin America, Southeast Asia, and you now have them in Africa. So this missionary work continues on to this day. We have a great many people who blazed the trail to make it possible for most of you to be here today. I know that the first time I entered an Orthodox church, I'm thankful that it was a parish where the services were in English. I would like to think that if my first experience had been a church where everything was done in Slavonic, that I would still go anyway, but being honest, I'm not sure that would have happened. I probably would have thought, well, that's interesting, but that's not for me because I don't understand what's going on here, and I probably wouldn't have come back. But even back in the late 1980s, there were parishes that were doing services in English because there were many people who had labored to produce translations into English. As a matter of fact, one of these people who labored in terms of English translations was Father Seraphim Rose, whom the Synod is now preparing to glorify as a saint. But Father Seraphim Rose was one of these people who was an incredibly smart man. He was a linguistic nerd. He liked different languages. And so when he encountered the Orthodox Church, even though the services were all in Slavonic, he was willing to learn Russian and learn Slavonic, and he became Orthodox. But he also understood that not everybody was like him. And so he started working on translating things into English. And it's because the work of many generations of people like him that we now have essentially everything we need in English and can do the services without resorting to any other language. English translations have been going on since before the founding of this country. As a matter of fact, I was interested in reading the Confession of St. Peter Mogila, and I ordered a text on Amazon, and it just so happened that when I got the text and I was reading who did the translation, it was my dear cousin Philip Ludwell III, who converted to Orthodoxy on his own, and he reposed before the American Revolution. But this translation is still in use. It's still usable. He also did the first English translation of some of the services. He translated the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom and the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts. But this translation of the Confession of St. Peter Mogila, I think, has actually gotten more use than some of those other translations. We need to support the missionary work of the church, and that means praying for missionaries, supporting them financially, but we also need to understand that we live on a mission field. When I was studying to be a Protestant minister, I actually had a concentration in missions. Little did I know that I would be applying what I was learning right here in my own country, but that's exactly what I've been doing. And we want to see missions around the world. We need to see missions right here too. And our parish has a goal of starting missions. As a matter of fact, we're starting one right now in New Waverly. And I would encourage everyone to support that, and our parish is making that parish possible to get off the ground. I know our parish didn't get any help starting off, except from individuals here and there that gave donations to help our parish in the early stages. But if you have a parish that's more established like ours helping to start missions, those missions don't have to struggle pulling themselves up by their bootstraps for years before they can start to make significant progress. But we also ultimately have a goal of not just starting missions that are going to be doing services in English, but we want to We want to start a mission that does services in Spanish. We want to get more parishes in Houston that actually do more Slavonic, too, because there's lots of Russians in Houston. You might have your opinion about immigration, and I'm not talking about that, so this is not a comment on whether the policies are right or not, but the reality of it is we have an international missionary field right here in Houston right now. You can do missionary work in any language and reach people that are right here. And one of the nice things about that is you might be converting people who then can become missionaries and go back to their own country and do a better job of it than one of us would do because we don't speak their language as a native speaker. So we want to actively support these missionary works, and we as a parish need to be totally behind that. But we also need to keep in mind that when Christ talked about us being the light of the world, He talked about our people being able to see our good works, not in the prideful sense that we're drawing attention to that, but that so our Father in heaven might be glorified. Because if you're going to try to spread the Orthodox faith to people that you know, they need to see that you're living it too. So we have to have the message. It needs to be in a language that people can understand, but it has to be backed up by a life that reflects the message. Amen.